History Program of the Washington County Museum and Zentry High School. The interviewee is Judy Berger. The interviewer is Curtis Hallam. The interview took at Zentry High School on May 24th, 3:15. What was your situation in 1964-73 with family and where you lived? And
okay, in 1964, I came to Hillsboro for my first teaching job at Hill High, teaching seniors in a class of American Problems. I taught for 3 years and then quit teaching, did a little bit of substituting, and then we traveled for 6 months in Europe from March to September of 1968 in a Volkswagen camper from Germany down to Greece through Yugoslavia and west to Spain and on up to the Scandinavian countries, so we essentially saw most of Western Europe. Came home, had two children, one born in 1969 and one in 1972, so basically was just working at a bookstore in Hillsboro part-time and raising two daughters during that time.
What was the economic base in Hillsboro at the start of the war?
Okay, in 1964, Hillsboro was a very small town. My beginning salary was, I believe, $4,800 for a first-year teacher. It was a small town. In fact, I was applying to go elsewhere because I was the youngest person on staff at Hill High and everybody seemed old enough to be my fathers or grandfathers. And then I met my husband, who worked in a pharmacy here in Hillsboro, and became engaged, and here I am 35 plus years later still in Hillsboro, having seen huge changes. My husband was a pharmacist and he was raised on a dairy farm in Hillsboro, a member of an old family. His aunt was an uncle, were Esther and Walter Stuckey. Stuckey Road is now located in Tannisbourne. All of that area was farmland, and Hillsboro was just a small city. There were two apartments to rent. I lived in one the first year I was here, and then when we were married, we moved to the other. That was about what it was like. Small town, very nice small town. I still look back on it favorably, but at the time I thought I should go elsewhere to get out in the big world because it was too small time for me.
How did business change during the war?
I don't know too much about the business world. Of course, the big plants, they call it the military industrial complex, was being talked about by Eisenhower as he warned us of the military buildup, but that was nationwide. I'm not so familiar with how it affected Hillsboro.
What was public opinion at the beginning of the war?
I look back at about 1964, and having been a supporter of John Kennedy, who died in 63, we knew that he had sent advisors over to Vietnam, and most of us kind of believed in the government. We either liked Kennedy or didn't, but kind of went along with the idea that advisors were okay. It was the continual buildup that started to worry some of us. But we still believed strongly, I think, in what we were told. It was the time of the Cold War, and we were fed the idea of the domino effect, that if Vietnam went, all of the other nations, Malaysia, Indonesia, down to Australia, and all would go. But we also knew about the French and how they had tried to hold on to their colonial empire and could not succeed. So we kind of heard two stories, I would say, from the beginning. But basically, I think I supported the government and believed in the McNamara approach and all at the beginning.
Did public opinion begin to change? And if so, at what point?
Okay, I think public opinion, when Wayne Morse started to speak out, I remember hearing him at his birthday speech at Sunset High School, going with my husband. We respected Wayne Morse, even though he was more liberal, perhaps, than we were. But also, when Hatfield started speaking out, we we respected both of those men very much and still do. I think when they, whatever date they started to speak out, we started to listen to them.
At what point and how did students become aware of the war?
My students in 1967, I remember having a project where they had to read the paper daily and record the events of the war, where the action was taking place. And I also remember bringing a television into the classroom and playing the Senate hearings in 1967. So at that point, I do know that we were familiar with the critique through the Congress.
We've heard of a one-day moratorium at Hill High, where all classes were off just so for students to learn about the Vietnam War. Do you remember anything like this?
No, and that may have been after I quit teaching in 67. I don't know the date of that.
And I've also heard that the school board passed a resolution to excuse absences if students would go to demonstrate in Portland. Do you remember anything like that?
I do not.
All right. What was the student reaction to the war?
I remember some students in 67 being concerned and starting to question. I do remember that, but it's getting further in my memory. I do know that some of my students in 67 did go to Vietnam, and my brother-in-law went to Vietnam out of Oregon State. Not sure on the years. Cousins went, so that was as close as it came to me.
Did that change your opinion at all?
Of course, we were very worried about my brother-in-law being over there, and we were all very glad when he came home safely. I think our opinions started to change, yes, into the 70s. I do want to mention in 68, the Democratic Convention in Chicago was a big event in my memory, and how the demonstrators were treated there, I will never forget that, because we saw all that on television.
Do you remember anything about the draft law?
I'd have to be reminded.
Okay. The students who had a family member or anything be drafted, did they look at it, the war differently than other students did?
I'm not sure. I do, and speaking of some personal students, I do remember students wanting to avoid the war and some wanting to get married, to stay out of the war, if that sort of hits on some of the topics.
Were there any student reactions to the war or the draft? Like demonstrations or anything?
I don't remember, because by the time I quit in 1967, there weren't demonstrations at that time. Of course, we saw the Portland State ones on television, but those were not students that I taught, but they were local demonstrations.
Were there any big changes in immigration during the war that you remember?
Not really. I don't remember changes that came afterwards, but I don't remember during the war itself.
Were there any major demonstrations in Hillsboro?
Again, I don't remember demonstrations, but then I was raising two children, and so, you know, my emphasis was not so much on the student demonstrations.
Was life in Hillsboro significantly different in any way as a result of the war?
I really can't answer that question.
Was there big discussion among the staff? Like, did their opinions begin to split at any time?
Back in 1965, 66, I remember Harvey Zabel, who I taught with, was having trouble with some students that would speak out. He was very, I believe he was pretty conservative. And then I also remember a fellow teacher, Steve Ward, who was pretty liberal. And I know that Steve was in Chicago on a leave of absence from teaching, getting his master's degree, and was there during the riots in 1968. As far as into the 70s, I really don't recall too much locally with the teachers.
Were there any who openly resisted the draft or fled from it?
I have, of course, known of some later, but at that time, I didn't know anybody in particular at that time.
Were there any home front activities in Hillsborough, like blood drives for the soldiers or letter writing campaigns or anything like that?
I could tell you a man named Jack Kirkwood, who was a teacher. I think he was at Brown Junior High. He wrote lots of letters to the Argus and to the Oregonian, very liberal, anti-war, as I recall. But I don't know that a lot of my friends really were in tune with him. I think he was kind of out there a little bit farther left than some of my friends.
From reading past Argus's, there's several articles about like a fear of communism. Was that a common opinion?
Well, the Argus is, of course, very conservative. And I do remember Walter Huss. Some names kind of come to mind of, real fear of the Communist Party, a real right-wing and left-wing, a lot of communism fears at that time, and a lot of propaganda. And the Argus would, of course, have a lot of right-wing. The John Birch Society was another one, and I was familiar with that because it started in my hometown in Southern California, San Marino. And the John Birch Society was ultra-conservative, and I do remember a lot of propaganda from the far right. The Argus would certainly play that up, I'm sure.
In your personal knowledge, how are soldiers treated when they returned?
My brother-in-law and my other members of the family were respected. Nobody that served over there, nobody to my knowledge ever said anything negative to them for serving. I think we all just, at least my knowledge was that we all just thought it was a big mess and we all wanted it to get over with, and as it dragged on and sympathized with everybody on all sides. Except I know that some of my relatives were pretty negative toward Jane Fonda and some of the real far left demonstrations.
What was done to help soldiers reintegrate into society?
I think there was financial assistance for college, I believe, that was available to them to get back in society that way. And I do remember some of them being hired locally, fire department, and also I think, as far as I know, they were brought back fairly well.
And what years were you traveling?
We were traveling in 1968 in Europe, and that's when I do remember the France went on strike, a student strike against De Gaulle. The whole nation was on strike, very liberal from the Sorbonne. We were aware of worldwide liberal movements, critical of the war, critical of the United States, critical of our allies. But I also remember Czechoslovakia being invaded by the Russian tanks, and because we wanted to go into Czechoslovakia and were afraid to go that we might get stuck in there. The Cold War was pretty real to us that way. We also were in Yugoslavia, which was a satellite of Russia, and I do remember how they were, people were interested in our Volkswagen camper and stopped us basically to see what it looked like on the inside. I don't know if they thought we might be carrying something wrong or what was in it, but they were interested. We were in Belgrade when we saw the newspaper that Martin Luther King died. We were in Granada, Spain, when we saw the newspaper of Bobby Kennedy's assassination. So our concerns, there was so much that happened in 68, was what was happening in the United States, what was going wrong, and then the Democratic Convention erupted, and we really wondered, this whole violence that was going on all over, actually. There were quite a bit in Europe and then in the United States during 68.
How is the war presented to you guys here in Hillsborough?
I think just that we saw it every night on television, watching Walter Cronkite, and our information came basically from the three major networks, and the visual information that we got that way is mostly what I remember.
Did that help change public opinion?
I think definitely we saw it up front and close, and it was just every night at dinner you saw more devastation, and that the more we saw, of course, then the more frustrated people became with our approach to winning the war, seeing that it wasn't winnable, I guess you'd say.
Okay, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Just that veterans and the people that have lived with the war, and you know how sad it is that so many lives were destroyed, that just so many things, the orphans that were left behind, just were paying for it for a long time, and you know, you just wish that it had not taken place, but it's just part of our history. I don't think there are any good wars, except maybe World War II did win the role for democracy, but nothing since then. I also lived during the Korean War, and we're not quite sure what that all was about. But Vietnam, it's just too bad that the politicians didn't end it sooner.